You're staying in here, Zechariah chapter 4. Now, if you're getting used to your Bible, this may be an instance when you'd like to use your index, okay? Zechariah, or you can go to Malachi or Matthew and start turning back to your left, and you'll come to Zechariah. 2 weeks ago, we started Labels Matter. And we just can't get going back. Well, actually, I think it was 3 weeks ago because we did a missions lesson. Then we had missions conference. And now we're dismissing this many parents tonight. So I'm going to wait and get lesson number two on Labels Matter here coming up. Next Wednesday night, I will stay, Lord willing, for the Wednesday evening service at the conference. I'm doing a lot of speaking in 4 days, and I'd like to sit and listen to some of the preaching. So Brother Ed Bragg will bring the lesson in here. Next Wednesday night, he's always got a good lesson, and so you won't hurt for that. And so hopefully 2 weeks from tonight, we'll have lesson two on Labels Matter. I'll probably have to go back and reteach lesson one and then move on to lesson two, and maybe we can get going on it then, okay? And I appreciate your patience. But tonight, I wanted to just do a standalone lesson and something that very important along the lines of something that is so important to a person's character. I want you to look at Zechariah chapter 4 and verse number 8. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me. I'm off of this thing now, right, Trevor? I'm off of this thing. Okay. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. Now, this is not the lesson, but the end of a thing is better than the beginning thereof. And it's always good, folks, to finish what you start. Finish what you start, okay? Then it goes on, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. Now watch verse 10, for who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. Father, bless us tonight as we jump into this simple lesson, but yet so important. I pray, God, that you'll open our hearts and eyes to truth. I know we have a lot to do with that. Lord, you'll help us if we'll come with a hungry heart. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. If we seek for you and seek for truth, we'll find it. So, Lord, would you help us tonight? We'll thank you. Bless the meeting upstairs. I pray in Jesus' name. And amen. It is difficult to pin success in Christian growth to one characteristic. You know, sometimes you hear messages on the key. I'm not sure there is a key to anything when it involves the Lord, spiritual matters. I think there are a lot of key things, and there are many characteristics that are important to spiritual growth as a child of God. That being said, none is more important than solid character. Just solid character. Do you know that unsaved people can possess character and that saved people can be absent of character? You know that? That's true. Unsaved people can have character and saved people can be absent character. Good character, you know this, is not necessary for salvation, but good character is necessary for spiritual growth after salvation. If a person does not have character, they can develop it. Thank God, that's something that can be developed. However, whatever you and I, whatever we are character-wise, by age 18, is pretty much what we're going to be. So if you got, you know, I know the parents of many of the teenagers are upstairs, but young people, if you're going to develop character, you got to get going on it. And all the little kids that are over in Brother Allen's first through sixth grade class, it's time to start them on it now too. Because by the time you get to 18, you're pretty much set. It's really tough to develop or even change character after age 18, about that time. If a person does have character when they get saved, they'll be ahead of the curve in growing spiritually. People who have character and come to know the Lord in salvation, they've got to step ahead. Because good character is very helpful in growing and maturing spiritually. There's no way that we can exhaust this subject in one lesson tonight, but I know that we can learn something from this passage of Scripture that will help us develop character. Before I get to the verses, what is character? If you had to define character, how would you define it? Don't answer out loud. You usually don't anyway. But anyway, so don't answer out loud. But if you had to define character, how would you define it? What would you say it would be? Okay, now somebody said, reputation is what man thinks we are. Character is what God knows we are. Okay? Somebody said, you must look into people as well as at them to discern character. Well, that's hard to do. And then some fellow named Greeley said, fame is vapor, popularity an accident. Riches take wings, only one thing endures, and that's character. And to some degree, he's right. It was interesting to me that Webster's 1828 Dictionary of the English Language did not even have character as a word. I was shocked at that. It had characteristics, but the word character was not in the Webster's 1828. But an online dictionary, which we know is right? It gave this definition, quote, the aggregate, which is not bad, the aggregate of features and traits that form the individual nature of some person. I'll say that again. The aggregate of features and traits that form the individual nature of some person. So character is the combined attributes that make up and distinguish an individual. It is a combination of attributes. It is not a single attribute that determines our personal character, but rather a combination, all right? I'm not going to talk about a bunch. I want to talk about one tonight. I'm going to talk about one attribute of character that I believe is important if we're going to develop the right character as a person. Now, let's look at the passage here, and we'll get into it, all right? So let me give you the setting of this passage. The setting of the passage, the Jews are through with their 70-year captivity in the land of Babylon. Cyrus the king has challenged them to go back and rebuild the temple and rebuild their homes and rebuild their city. And so several thousand of them have. They didn't all go back, but several thousand of them have gone back under the leadership of Zerubbabel and Jeshua at the beginning. And later on, Ezra came along as the scribe to write things down. And later on, Nehemiah came. Jeshua and Zerubbabel were instrumental in the first projects when they returned to Jerusalem. The first thing they did was rebuild the altar. And then they laid the foundation of the temple, to rebuild the temple, all right? And then adversity struck, and they kind of just sat down on the job. And so God sent Haggai and Zechariah as prophets to preach to these Jews to get going on this thing, overcome adversity, and get to building this temple, which they did. They profited from the preaching of the prophets, okay? Later on, Nehemiah would come and rebuild the walls, all right? And again, Ezra was the scribe who recorded the rebuilding of the temple and all of this. So, Zechariah, this is the time when the temple foundation is being first laid. Okay, they've rebuilt the altar. Now they're going to rebuild the temple. Zechariah is there as a preacher, okay? And the temple is being rebuilt. In verses 9 and 10, you've got the beginning of the foundation. Now look, the foundation of the temple was a small step in the process of rebuilding the whole thing. Just a small step. And Zechariah was encouraging the people not to think lightly of this important step in the rebuilding process of the temple. Yes, they had a long way to go, and this was the very beginning, and what was coming in the second temple would be beautiful, not as beautiful as the first, but it would be beautiful. And Zechariah said, to think lightly, look at the question in verse 10, for who hath despised the day of small things? They laid the foundation, and some of the Jews, this is not important. But to think lightly or despise the beginning, even though it was small, would be a terrible mistake. Because even though it's small in comparison to the entire project, it's important. And people, things don't need to be big to be important. Amen. Small things are just as important as big things. And an element of good character is learning the importance of the small things in life. To go through life thinking that small things are unimportant can cost you in big ways. And it's a matter of character. It's a matter of developing an attribute, an internal attribute that makes us pay attention to the small things of our life. I don't care if it's your vocation. I don't care if it's about your spiritual well-being, if it's your family, if it's your finances. Small things are, it just because they're small, does not mean they are unimportant. In fact, small things are extremely important. And an element of good character is learning the importance of the small things in life. To go through life thinking that small things are unimportant can cost you in big ways. I remember, you know, if you're a sports fan, this is a great time to be for a sports fan. You got college football has started. You got baseball playoffs are 2 weeks away maybe, and the best part of the baseball season. And you've got NFL football has started. And it just, if you like sports at all, there's a lot to look at or to look into, check scores and everything. And Georgia's still number one. All right, so I'll keep going here. So, but anyway, into college football. So I remember Derrick Rose grew up here in the city of Chicago, came out of Chicago as a hot basketball prospect, and he played they drafted him up here for the Bulls. In college, he played for the University of Memphis. And in 2008, the University of Memphis played the University of Kansas in the NCAA championship game. Now look, being a championship basketball team is not an easy thing, all right? And the reason we know that, how many of them win back-to-back championships? Very few, okay? And being a championship-caliber player is a challenging thing as well. And Memphis had the lead. I can't remember but toward the end of the game, Memphis had the lead. You're down to the last seconds now, okay? 60 seconds, 90 seconds, 30 seconds. Memphis pretty much had the lead. And you know what Kansas was doing? Because they were behind a little bit and they wanted to stop the clock, they were what? Fouling them. And Memphis was going to the free throw line. And they clanked free throw after free throw after free throw. And Derrick Rose was part of that. He missed a couple of them, I think maybe the final two. And Kansas got the ball, went down the court and scored, and they won it. Now look, Kansas won. You know, free throw shots. How do you score in basketball? Well, you have a three-point shot, right? It's 3 points, right? Okay. Then you can have a two-point shot. Free throws, how much? 1 point. Is that the lowest number of points that can be scored on any shot in a basketball game? Just one. But you can win or lose by 1 point. And you do the same thing in baseball and football, but I don't think there's anything in football that you can score 1 point. But basketball there is. What's a free throw? It may be a trophy. In that case, it cost them a trophy. You can't think. And that's a sports example, which means nothing in the end. But when it comes to our character, when it comes to our spiritual well-being, when it comes to our vocational efforts, prosperity, folks, if we take the attack that small things don't matter, we're making a big mistake. And even in marriage, even in your home, even with children, small things are big. There are Bible examples of people doing what some might consider small things, but it says a lot. David leaves. His dad says, take this food to the battle where your brothers are. Tell the captains I said hello and give them some cheese and bread, whatever, and check on your brother. Now, David's a boy. What is he, 17? And he's going to send him to the battle. Is that exciting? Yeah. That's exciting. I'm going to go to the front line. I'm going to go where my brothers are. I mean, I get to carry cheese and bread to the captains and see the people over there. So it's a big thing. I mean, it's a great big thing. But David's a shepherd boy. And he watches sheep. And you know what a lot of the average boys in America would do today If they were given the opportunity to do something exciting and big, they'd go off and forget about those sheep. But not David. David leaves the sheep with a keeper. In fact, when he got to the front line, his eldest brother, Eliab, who was full of anger and bitterness, said to him, "You naughty kid, you probably left those sheep all by yourself in the wilderness." That was not true. Because David had enough character to take care of the small things. The small things. One cake was enough for God to use to miraculously feed a widow and son for many days. One little small pot of oil turned into everything the widow needed to pay her bills and keep her sons out of bondage. One small lunch of bread and fish was used to feed 15 to 20,000 people with 12 baskets remaining. The seemingly little, insignificant things are not to be taken lightly. Great care should be taken to give attention to small things. I want to say three lessons about this, and I don't have a lot of time left, but we'll get through it. Number one, small things are usually not visible. Small things are usually not visible. Now, Zechariah, he called the foundation of the temple a small. It was a small thing. In the grand scheme of the big temple building, the foundation was a rather small thing, okay? The foundation is the one part of the building that is not visible to the naked eye. But no one, anyone who knows anything about building knows that the foundation is vitally important. There are many other parts of the building that are far more visible. The windows are visible. The roof line is visible. And that makes a building attractive. And windows make a building attractive. And the surface material on the outside, the facade, makes the building attractive. And you know, remember Brother Mickey Carter talking about the lily work done on the top of the temple building and how, you know, you really couldn't even hardly see the lily work, but God knew it was there. You know, nobody drives by. I've had a lot of people as I visit around town, talking to folks, follow up with people, knocking doors. "Oh, Faith, yeah, I know where you're at. That is a beautiful, nobody has ever come. That's the most beautiful foundation I've ever seen in my life." Nobody's ever said that. "Oh, what a foundation." If they said that, you'd take them to a rubber room, right? What are you doing? That's not what people talk about. Okay, they talk about the brick. They talk about the stone. They talk about the windows. They talk about the roof. But listen to you. Look, the absence of visibility does not make the foundation any less important. In fact, it's the most. It is the part of the build. What is not seen about a building is the most vital part for stability. The whole thing rests on the foundation. So it is with life as well. The small things that we pay attention to in our daily life may not be visible or recognizable to others, but they are foundational to our character. Folks, what nobody sees about our private life is the most foundational part of our life. That's my Bible time. That's my prayer. That's my worship. That's what I do when nobody else is around. It's one thing to get up here in front of people on Sunday and Wednesday, but this is the window dressing. This is the roof line. It all rests on what's done where nobody looks. Okay? Who hath despised the day? Look, you're thinking little because it's just the foundation. I've told you before, you know, when we started building this, and I had never built even, I might have helped Dad build a rabbit pen. That's about the most I ever built. I'd never been around buildings. We never built at Marion Avenue. I helped remodel a Sunday school, fifth floor of the Seifert building in Hammond during the summer, just carrying drywall. And that, but I mean, I learned so much. Dennis Kalson was a hawk. He drove Jeff Jarvis nuts. Jeff was the architect. He drove him nuts. And I just, because Jeff's a good architect, but he's an architect in this area, and Dennis is used to building in Chicago, and Dennis, now we've had some problems with the roof, we've had some problems with other things, but there's not been a trouble with the foundation that I know of. Is it, Joe? Has there been any trouble with the foundation? It's the part that's not seen. It's the part that's not seen. Small things are usually not visible. The small things that we pay attention to in our daily life may not be visible or recognizable to others, but they're foundational to our character. Small things are usually not visible. Number two, great things are built on small things. Great things are built on small things. The overall dimensions of the foundation of a building are smaller than the other parts. You look at the surface area of the walls of this building and compare it to the footings that it rests on. So the building itself, the rest of the building is so much bigger than the footings. You know what I mean by footings? I think everybody, men, I know, you know, understand the footings. You know, they come in with the backhoe and they dig a trench. And then they come in with their rebar, the iron workers, and they put rebar and they tie it all together. And then they have your corners and they have certain rebar type things that go in the corners. You guys probably know the name of all that stuff. I'm sure Reed and others do. And then they come with concrete and they pour those trenches full of concrete. And you got the rebar in there. And that rebar strengthens that concrete. You take a sledgehammer to it, it won't bust. That's what happened to Mike Crane out there in Iowa. I've told that story. I don't have time to tell it tonight. But anyway, it's crazy. Remind me sometime. I'll tell you, probably forgot. That's the footings. How big is that? How deep is that trench, Reed, normally? Do you know? 3 feet? Sir? Below the frost line, whatever the frost line is. So you got that much concrete all the way around. Then you got this massive building that sits on that footing because great things are built on small things. Small things are just that. They're small. The footings may not be huge, but they are engineered to withstand the weight of the whole building. And people, whether you grasp it or not, the weight of our life, the small things in our life are engineered to carry the weight of everything else in our life. It's the small things that the great things are. So here's a student in school in science class, and they get an A on their report card in science. How did the student get that A on his report card? Well, they did their tests. They studied for their test. They did their quiz good. They did their homework. Maybe there was a special project, and they put into a top-notch job into a special project. How did they know when the test and the quiz and the special project and all those things, how did they know when they were due? They had a little book called an assignment pad. And on that assignment pad, they wrote down, this is a test, this is a quiz, this is a top, this is the special project. And, you know, do you know how many, you know how much tests don't get studied for and quizzes don't get studied for? Because the student doesn't pay attention to just writing the assignment down in the assignment book. How small is that? Great things are built on small things. And I can't give everybody a real life example from your own experiences, but there are small things that are a part of every person's vocation, every person's calling, every person's life. Great things are built on small things that are done well. Done well. I've used this before, but I think it's an outstanding illustration. And I don't know why I'm using sports tonight, but this Chicago Bulls team of the 90 that won 6 championships in 8 years, 6 championships in 8 years, all centered around Michael Jordan, the best basketball player of all time. James is not in this discussion. Plus, he loves China. So, you know. So, Jordan was the best. And Scottie Pippen, who was his wingman, said about Michael Jordan, he practices harder than any other player on the team. Maybe that's why, one of the reasons why there's 6 big trophies and he's got 6 big rings on his fingers and made, what, $33 million a year the last year of his practiced harder. Practiced harder. And I remember watching a video clip years and years ago of another basketball player by the name of Allen Iverson. I don't think he ever won a championship. Maybe he did. I don't know. No? Somebody knows. Okay. He was being interviewed about practice because he didn't hustle. Practice? It's just practice, man. What do you think? Practice. It's just practice. What's the big deal about practice? Maybe that's why you don't have a ring. And the guy that practiced as hard as they said that when Phil Jackson would break them up into 3-on-3 at practice, nobody wanted to play at the end with Michael. Because he'd go full speed. Nobody wanted to play with him. Great things are built on small things. I don't mean to use sports examples, but there's a lot of things you can learn from sports. And I want to tell you something, folks. Great things are built on small things. The small things of our life are incredibly important. Number 3, and this is the last one, I'm done. Lack of attention to small things will come back to haunt you. What are the small things that are part of your life? What are the small things that are part of your vocation? What are the small things? Hey, kids, teenagers, what are the small things about school? What are the small things about your job? What are the small things about your relationships in life, your marriage relationship, your family, your work? What are the small attributes that define your character? Whatever they are important. They may be unseen. They may be small in comparison to the rest of what your life is made up of, but your life will suffer if you do not pay attention to small things. And in contrast, your life will be much better if you do pay attention to small things. If you do. Hope I said that right. Did that come out right? Good. Sometimes you get to going and you hope it's right. I will tell you, folks, look, last week missions conference, if I had one of the missionaries or speaker, Brother King, say this to me, I don't know how many of them said it. The buildings look so clean. Now, sometimes they're not, and I don't like that. And the folks that clean, they get a note, or they get somebody coming to them and saying, Pastor wants it. Because I'm telling you, you say, well, that's just a small. Okay, so I don't know. Now, don't want to kick that off. That's a small thing. Don't want to do that. So I don't know. You know, we've had church tonight. So I don't know what all these look like. But here in this seat right here, the hymn books are this way, and they're this way, and they're facing the same way, and the envelopes are like that. And before anybody came in here, they were all like that. And I had a man say to me, a man that joined this church, he said to me, standing in here after the service one day, he said, one of the things... One of the things, as small as that little thing right there, he said to me, one of the things that made an impression, I can't remember the exact statement, something I'm paraphrasing now, one of the things that made an impression on me is just when you come in, everything looks. Now, I don't think that's why his family joined the church. Why did you join Faith Baptist? Because all the envelopes were right. Now, the preaching, but boy, those envelopes were straight. He's still in the church today. Some of his kids are still in the church today, grown up, active, involved, support. I try to teach this in school, Brother Bragg. Try to teach it in church ed. All these prospective guys going out into ministry. I'm going to go preach and I want to do this, which is good. I'm glad for them. I'm not making fun of that. I'm going to tell you something, fellas. That's what I tell them. Pay attention to the small things. I don't ever try to walk over a piece of paper laying on the floor. You know what Brother Allen does when he comes to church on Sunday morning? And he gets here sometimes a little bit before me, sometimes I get here before him. If I get here at the same time he does, he starts back here in his car and starts driving around. He's picking up paper, picking up trash. You know why he's doing that? Because one day he pulled in. I was walking the grass out here. Yesterday morning, I brought Brady and Carson to school. Sometimes I go by and pick them up on my way to school. Pulled in the drive up here. Here was three pieces of trash laying out in the front yard. Stopped the truck. Brady, run out there and grab those pieces of trash. And boy, and what's that? It's called clean. It's called how many cars drive by this place every day. I'm going to tell you something. I cannot emphasize how important what I'm talking about tonight is. And you got, and it's not just, it's in your life. It's the small things. You don't overrun your checking account. What's that? I don't even know what that, overdraw, is that what it's called? Overdraw your checking? Oh, you take care of that. You don't pay a bill late. Pay it on time. It's small things. Small things. Just little things, okay? Because great things are built on small things. Small things are not visible. Great things are built on small things. And lack of attention to small things will come back to haunt you. Look, you can joke about missed free throws when you're playing a lesser caliber team and winning by. Did you see the college football scores the first two weekends? 84-3. It's because these big universities are playing the little sisters of the poor. And 66-0. 73-7. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. When you're beating a team that's lesser caliber than you, we missed some free throws. You can joke about missed free throws when you're celebrating the conference championship after winning it easily. You can joke about missed free throws when your team took more free throws than one person. You missed more free throws than the other team took altogether. You can joke about missing them. But when the national championship is on the line against an opponent who's as good as you, you know what missed free throws can do? They could cost you the trophy. And they did. So you learn the importance of small things in your life, and you do them well. And you do them consistently well. And that is good character. Pick up your clothes. Your bedroom doesn't need to look like a tornado went through it. Shine your shoes. Oh, nobody. No, yes, yes. Doesn't matter if anybody sees. You know they're shined. Small things. God had his prophet ask the question, who hath despised the day of small things? They're going to regret that because they're going to see the end of this. And the foundation, the beginning of this thing, it may not be as big as the temple's going to be, but it's not unimportant. Small things. Let's pray. Thank you for listening tonight. Father, I pray that you'll bless the lesson to our hearts. And God, it's just part of, it's one of those attributes that makes up our life. It makes up the character that formed the individual nature of a person. There's just something about it. There's something about symmetry, God. There's something about symmetry in our life, balance in our life. And that requires attention to small things, to balance family, work, church. It's just so easy to get unbalanced, but not if we take care of the small things. Lord, tonight, would your Spirit kind of take his finger and put it on some part of our life that we've kind of let go and we've not paid attention to? That's not a big deal. And just draw our attention to it. Give us the grace to take care of the small things in life. They are so important. Thank you for a book that teaches us this. Help us tonight. Let's stand together, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We have just a brief.